My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Best Quality Vacuum. It is the Duck Feed show about Breaking Bad, El Camino, and Better Call Saul.
Yeah. And this week we're talking about Shotgun, which is an episode that was directed by Michelle MacLaren, written by Thomas Schnaus, and originally aired on August the 14th of 2011.
Yeah. An episode that this is a weirdly paced episode because we talked about the last episode being this very intense cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like that they subvert that.
Yes.
You know, that you're just immediately let down.
Mm-hmm.
Like that it's not really a thing. But this is an episode where not a whole lot happens. And I think a couple of characters behave stupider than they would.
Yeah.
And I hate it when a character behaves stupider than they would.
Mm-hmm.
Like as a thing. Because you when you say that about something, what you're saying is it doesn't feel internally consistent. And then somebody will be like, well, you know, they suck. They did this stupid thing. I'm like, no, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
This is a thing where degrees matter.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that if there's a line, this feels like it crossed it a little bit for me.
It's also qualitative as well. Like,
yes.
You know, okay, like there's an amount of stupidity. And then
execution of stupidity.
And then there's like what they are stupid about. Like, oh, this person is not stupid about this thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So like I don't like this episode very much.
Yeah.
Which I didn't remember. Because again, this season is the one where I'm noticing like I'm having a very hard time remembering what is in what episode.
Yeah.
You know.
To that point, yeah. I finished this episode and I was like, well, that didn't really go anywhere. I kinda wanna see what happens after this. So Gary, I just started watching to the end of the series. I just finished Gliding Overall.
Okay.
Which will help me put some things in context. Didn't take notes for the show or anything because that doubles the watch time essentially.
Yes, yes.
But it was just like, okay, well, we're getting into the deadly game of cat and also cat and what is being set up and what moves mean what is going to matter. So I figured I would at least get a little bit of that,
refresh that context.
Yeah.
Sure. The only reason why I always want to do that at the end of the episode and then I'm like, well, I don't want to just watch this again in like a couple of weeks. It's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
To have the context for sure.
Yep. It's the first time I've done it too. So.
Yeah. No, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
So we mentioned before, this picks up on the cliffhanger. We think Mike is driving out to the desert to shoot Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Turns out Gus is playing a really strategic thing. He wants to use him in a different way. So he's putting him in place under Mike's wing as a runner, basically as a scheme.
Right.
You know, this is we're gaslighting Jesse.
Yeah. And trying to take advantage of the fact that Jesse is very hungry for approval.
Yes. And just as a wedge to Walt.
Yes.
You know, take out Walt.
Yep. That takes up the majority of the incident in this episode. There is a climax for that with the culmination of the gaslighting. There are some minor plots hovering around, including the way that this ends. I love the ending to this episode. But we get minor plots about Walt's relationship with Skyler briefly rekindling for dumb, almost Seinfeld reasons.
It does. It feels bad.
Yeah.
You know, it feels kind of dumb. Like they've been laying this groundwork, I think, to warm up Skyler to the idea of being in bed with Walt figuratively.
Yes.
Right. Like I'm in this.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm in this, I'm in this, you know, and we've slowly seen her kind of see the appeal a little bit. She was, you know, blown away by looking at the money, or getting the number and everything like that. She's good at the game,
mm-hmm.
you know, so you can see the kind of parallel they're running there.
Yeah.
A little bit. And then they just immediately they don't quite undo it, but it's like, I don't know. It's a frustrating scene to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is a getting pieces into place episode. I believe to a fault. There's not a lot of high incident where production trivia is going to come into play. Not the literally just kind of nuts and bolts episode.
Yep. Put brick by brick.
Yeah.
The, like they say on the show, the one production trivia is a mistake where a cameraman's visible, you know, the whole thing like has just kind of a ramshackle feel to it.
Yeah.
The beginning again, I remember watching it the first time, very intense.
Yes.
So Walt is driving like a fucking idiot. Like he's swerving it in traffic, with no fear of the police.
Yeah.
on the phone with Saul. Here.
Saying, hey, here's a dead man switch. Something terrible is about to happen. If you don't hear from me before 24 hours are up, you need to make sure that all of my cash goes to Skylar.
Yes. You know, figure it out. Mm-hmm. You know, he has a close call. He almost hits somebody because he's driving into oncoming traffic.
He basically goes up onto the sidewalk at one point.
Yeah, he does. He literally does. This is GTA
driving.
This is how, you know, a GTA would drive.
Yeah.
And he has this moment, and he slows down a little bit, and he calls and leaves a message for Skylar.
Right.
You know, just thinking about you, I'm thinking about you and the kids, and I love you. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's terrified out of his mind. You know,
it totally comes through in his voice too.
Yeah, it's not a regular. I think I can understand how somebody would mistake it for high emotionality.
Right.
You know, a little bit, but Skylar again figures it out really quickly. She figures it out next episode.
Yes.
He fishes his gun out of the floor and continues angry driving with the gun. I sent it to you to kiss my ass. Like he's like just losing his mind.
I'm really sad that Nicolas Cage took the phrase driving angry away from us and turned it into driving angry in 3D, because I mean from Groundhog Day, obviously, don't drive angry. It is a very good description for this kind of shitty driving.
I'm gonna take the mantle and start calling it Lucky and Wilding.
Oh, okay.
After the drive and shoot Konami game.
Yeah, that terrible drive and shoot Konami game.
The absolutely horrible game. Yeah. But such a good premise. We see where he's going. We see what his plan, quote unquote, is.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah. He gets to the kind of headquarters, Gus's home Pollos Hermanos location, and then walks in and talks to the manager and says, "You need to bring me Gustavo. Bring me Gus."
Yes.
And
bring me the kingpin.
You know, he's strapped. There are cameras all over him. And, you know, it's arguable how much this manager knows what is going on with Gus, right? Like whether she is being protective because she doesn't want to escalate this drug thing. I also think that she just has seen Walt around, and here is a very agitated man making a scene, right?
Yeah, I don't think any of the Los Pollos employees, except for the ones who need to, know about the drug stuff. I think that this is just something that happens when you work in fast food.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and that sounds like a joke, but it's not. Like, you run into the guy from Falling Down from time to time.
They're just out there.
There's going to be some falling downs, you know? And this is Walt being the guy from Falling Down for some reason. Almost like, you know, almost literally, like it's ludicrous. The one little bit I like is he goes back and sits, she stares at him and goes in the back, you know, look here. He's, you know, she says he's not here. He demands it. I'll wait. Goes back. And he has this adrenaline coming down moment.
Yeah.
Like he looks at the security cameras, he sees people looking at him, and he doesn't realize, like, you know, this was dangerous. He realizes it was stupid tactically.
Yes.
Right? Because any of these could be Gus's people. He's being watched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he's like, okay, well, this was an error. Specifically, a couple of Hispanic guys walk in, and he has a real, like, are these guys going to kill me?
Right.
Moment. And they're just there to get some chicken.
Yeah. Like you do. Yeah. And then Mike calls Walt, because obviously this would be run up the flagpole, Mike being, you know, corporate security or whatever. Saying, yeah. Mike, what are you doing?
Well, what are you doing? I love that. Anytime that can happen. Go home, Walt.
Yeah. He says, hey, Jesse's with me if that's what you're worried about, and he's fine. Right. And Jesse takes the phone to give a little bit of proof of life. But Jesse is kind of wigged out. Remember when he got picked up, he is in I don't care if I live or die mode. He just gets in and complies. Yes. But this is becoming more real to him, especially when Walt expresses concern and he does not have answers for the specifics of what is currently happening.
Yep. Walt puts Mike, you know, they put Mike back on and Walt says, you know, what guarantee me safe? He's like, listen, Jesse's going to be with me today. That's all you need to know. You have to go. You're going to have to manage the cook alone. Go do your job.
Yes.
You know, and Walt, you know, waits a beat and then he grabs the gun in his pocket and barges in the back office. Mm-hmm. But the manager was telling the truth. Mm-hmm. Gus isn't there. You know, his car's there, but he's, you know, out joyriding on his cool moped.
Yeah.
he's in the sidecar of a Harley 3.
He's jumping bikes real good.
Yeah, yeah, he's out back throwing fluorescent light bulbs.
Jesse's amped up, and he asks Mike, okay, how much of that was real? Like, is what you said to Mr. White bullshit? You know, thinking, okay, like, obviously something terrible is going to happen to me. You're just placating him so you can get this done. And then he does this thing, which I see people in media do, but I do not think would ever actually be effective. He grabs his keys and then like works them into his fist. So he has little key sized Wolverine knuckles.
Yeah. He's like a little tiny X 21.
Yeah.
Like even smaller. And the, I think that the Mythbusters should bust this myth.
Yeah.
Cause it makes intuitive sense, but it also looks like a really good way to drive the fat end of a key into your palm.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, I don't, I also think it wouldn't work that well, but I would love to see a side by side comparison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
I don't know
if any fans want to volunteer for that. Don't.
If you have a,
please
if,
don't.
If you have a story about a time this saved your life, obviously I will believe you.
Sure.
Currently, I think that world government is in cahoots with the big auto cartels to move us to keyless cars.
Bigger key. So we get rid of these things.
Right. So we can't defend ourselves when the day comes.
Keyless entry at houses as well. We can't defend ourselves with our knowledge.
Yeah. Not at all. Obviously, I'm joking.
He grabs the keys, he makes a key fist. He's like, you think you're gonna just leave me in some ditch? And you know, Mike is sick of this. I love Mike having a bad day. That's everything I like in this episode. Like, what do you care? I don't.
All right. Proceed as usual. All right.
You know, they stop near a dead drop spot. Weirdly, all these spots have wiki entries.
Mm-hmm.
And grab something from the trunk, and we know it's a shovel. And Jesse gets ready to confront him. He gets out. Mike's got a shovel.
Yeah.
You know, and Mike just walks past him.
Right.
Nothing.
Yeah. He's got to get to grave digging, we are led to believe.
Yep.
But instead he is using the shovel to uncover and then lift a board over a dead drop. There's a cash bag in there, you know, and he recovers it and goes back to the car, you know, with the cash and says, all right, we got a long day. We've got six more stops, lots of miles in between them. And I'd like to finish before dark.
Yep. Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hank flips through Gale's notebook. He has a flipbook animation.
Obviously.
Incredible. Yeah. Super fun.
And it's not like a cool thing, like so like a guy doing flips or, you know, somebody getting stabbed or whatever. It's like a water drop turning into a seed, turning into a plant that's blooming.
Yeah.
God, Gale never fucking change. Never.
Yeah.
You're perfect the way you are. Yeah.
He won't change. Yeah. You got your wish. He's basically in a steady state at this point. Yeah. I think, you know, and Tim's there, Detective Tim.
Yeah.
He's there. He's like, hey, you know, do you think Gale is your Heisenberg? He's like, you know, I think so. He's like, okay, you know, what kind of connections do you have? Well, you know, just the blue meth, and the only people I know are these two shitheads, Badger and Jesse.
Yeah.
You know, Badger's nothing, you know, at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jesse, you know, Tim says, hey, could Jesse be the shooter? And Hank's like, no, like, I don't think so.
Yeah. You know, I'd be surprised. He does not see Jesse as a violent threat. And Tim pulls out the composite sketch of the shooter from the witness accounts at the scene and is asked like, hey, you know, is it, you know, do you recognize this person? And he doesn't because Victor, he was a good soldier up until the end, right? Never had a run-in with the authorities, you know, didn't have a profile. In fact, I think when we see the board later, he's still unknown.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think they ever figure out Victor.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is in a barrel too.
Yep.
Steady state.
True.
You know, they're waiting on some prints, you know, and Tim says, hey, you know, I can keep you in the loop with this. And Hank says, you know, I appreciate what you're doing here, but I think I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, this guy's dead. That's closure. I don't want to do this anymore.
Right.
Yeah. You know? We do some more pickups. Mike pulls a cash bag out of a vent in a derelict factory.
Yeah.
You know, and he comes out and Jesse's holding his arms in front of his body. I don't know what that pose is called, but it's the guard pose.
It's a bouncer pose is what I associate that with.
It's a bouncer.
He's, you know, shoulders held back, chest out, trying to look big, kind of thing.
Grabbing your wrist in front of your dick.
Yes. Yeah. That's bouncer coded.
There's two kinds of poses like this. There's this one, the bouncer one, mm-hmm. and then there's standing back with your arms crossed, and that's if you're standing behind Run DMC. And those are the two that you can do.
You'd be surprised how frequently that happens.
Yeah. Yeah, just like, yeah, I don't know. There's always roughly half, and depending on how you want to think about it, the entire population of the Earth is behind Run DMC at any given time.
Yeah.
You know,
and our app will tell you which yes. box you fall into at any given yeah. moment.
Yeah. Yeah. How far are you from Run DMC? That's just planting an air tag on Run.
Yeah.
To get that.
I went to bar trivia. Yeah. Last week is what it was, and I didn't realize it was all going to be a music night. I was there with my brother.
Okay,
and given where I live, a lot of it was 90s country. We got fucking rolled. One of the categories was classic rap. It was in there, and one of the songs was Run DMC's version of Walk This Way. And sure. it played with that riff over a beat, and then it started rapping, and people got very upset when they said it was by Aerosmith, despite the fact that the category was rap. Kind of a trick question, but also remember what was said at the beginning of this series of songs, please.
Yes. Yeah. That's frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Mike gets pissed because Jesse's standing guard.
Indiscreetly.
Like this.
Yeah.
Yep. and Jesse says, hey, listen, if I'm a guard, I'll need a gun. You know, nope. Mike hates this. Mike's having a very bad day.
Yeah. There's a very specific reason why Jesse doesn't have a gun right now.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, Jesse pulls out a cigarette. Mike looks at him, you know, there's no chance. You know, you're not doing that. And we get this time-lapse montage of them in the car.
Yes.
Doing more pulls. Jesse's really bored. At one point, he sings a couple lines from Fallacies.
Uh-huh.
He's drawing. Always like when that...
Drumming on the dashboard.
Yep.
Yeah. I love the music that this is over. This is 1977 by Ana Tijo. Really good, like fast Spanish rap kind of stuff. Neat little hook to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and Jesse is so bored. He's bored out of his mind.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, hey, listen, yo, I know what's happening. These dead drops. Me and my boys had a similar system. He's just trying to make conversation.
Yeah.
He's like in isolation, and Mike is just ignoring him.
Right. Completely icing him out.
Yep.
Pun not intended, but accepted. Yeah. He's like, oh, obviously it was less cash, but we had a similar system. And I can hear Mike's inner monologue in this, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so you know, Jesse points out the fact that there is no communication, saying like, we're going to need to, if I'm going to be the guy, we're going to need to talk. And this puts Mike over the edge. We get Mike giving a very fun little rant here saying, you are not the guy, nor will you be. I used to have a guy, but now I don't. You are not capable of being the guy.
Being the guy. Yep. This is him being mad at Jesse, but also just mad at the whole situation.
Oh yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I bet you Walt gets blamed for this. You know, like, this is Walt's fault. You know, Mike, we had a system. We had a good thing with Fring, and you had to fuck it up with your pride and
and your ego.
All that stuff. Yeah. Your ego. And Jesse says, you know, what the hell am I doing here? And Mike snaps, I don't know. I just do what I'm told.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be quiet for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Here. And they continue. The montage shifts over to Walt doing cooking alone. You know, these POV shots, there's respirator mask, he's huffing and puffing, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sets down for a break and his watch alarm goes off. He had an appointment, he goes to leave.
Yeah. The appointment was back at his house with the notary to finish up the paperwork on the car wash purchase. This plot line is finally over.
God damn. what a long trip it's been. You know, the notary says, you know, this is a solid business plan. You shouldn't be worried. Walt's obviously very distracted.
Yes.
You know, still worried about Jesse and frustrated.
Yeah.
Then the notary leaves and Skyler's like, you know, how are you feeling?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a little nervous and scared. We just bought a car wash.
Yeah. We bought a crime wash. Walt?
Yeah. Yeah. And this is so small. He was just in a restaurant with a gun.
Uh-huh.
Like once you've fallen down for the day, like this, you don't get up for car washes.
Yeah.
It doesn't move the needle.
I try to save my falling down for near the end of the day. I just go out to the docks. Me too. Say I was a good guy and go back home.
And then get shot, go home. You know? Yeah, falling down. If you, I don't know how popular that movie is. Nobody's fucking seen that shit.
I would say it's more popular than you think. Among the people that I know, if you say that you're pulling a Falling Down, in fact, I would say people who know about Breaking Bad probably are like into Farrelly Brothers kind of stuff. Not Farrelly Brothers. God, come on.
What a bold statement.
Yeah, no. Well, one thing is not the other. You love
There's Something About Mary if you
yeah. love Breaking Bad. No, that was totally a Snap to Grid thing because my mind went brother filmmakers and I said Farrelly when obviously I meant Cohen. Obviously, Falling Down is not the Coen brothers, but it is Coen's ask.
That kind of thing. And the people behind Breaking Bad, and one of the podcasts, they talked about liking Falling Down.
Yeah.
So we're covered. We can cover it. We can talk about Paul Falling Down. Walt says, no, we're going to be fine. And she's very vulnerable at this point. Say it again.
Mm-hmm.
And she's starting to trust him a little bit. Mm-hmm. Says, Walt, listen, if we're going to do this, there can't be any more secrets. Like, I'm your crime wife now. Mm-hmm. As the crime wife, I get to know about crimes. We need to be completely honest. And he agrees.
Yeah. So they go to have a celebratory drink. And while Walt's getting out the champagne, Skylar checks the messages. Walt should just sabotage the answering machine somehow. Nothing Hello, good Mata. Happens.
Hello, Fada.
Sky is Flint at Camp Granada.
Granada. he should 100% replace the thing.
Yeah.
Skylar hears the message and she reads it as vulnerable.
Yes.
Not, and emotional. She turns to him, they stare, and then they go and have sex.
Jump cut to vigorous fucking.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Just get the clothes off.
Yeah.
After the sex, Skylar is kind of riding Walt about, not pointing out her new haircut.
Yeah.
There. He's very distracted.
Right. Right.
And
they're making plans, saying, oh, we're going to go over to Hank and Marie's. I think it's tomorrow night as of the time this happens. And Ben Jr. gets home and they're caught. To mm-hmm. Junior's mind,
Mom and Dad are back together.
This is what he puts together. Yeah, ultimately. Yeah. Them being back in the bedroom, he just kind of rolls his eyes. He knows what's happening and it's ew, gross, parent sex. And then goes into his room.
Yep. Skylar at this point, says, hey, like maybe you should move back in. Mm-hmm. We have to keep up appearances. It'll just be easier to explain. And he's kind of taken aback by this, but before he can answer, his watch alarm goes off.
Yeah.
He has to go.
Nope.
And they do a little kiss. It's a little bit odd. Skylar's craving this connection
in
this new place, and Walt's a million miles away.
And I'm also reading this as some lead up to what is happening, what's going to happen at the end. I think that Walt is feeling a little bit of end of Goodfellas now at this. There's a little bit of Henry Hill, My Blue Heaven thing happening with, okay, we're committed to the car wash. Suddenly my marriage is back together. Things are getting stable.
And I can't have that. Right. It's real similar to Jesse being like, I can't own a nail salon.
Mm-hmm.
What is the point of being it's like a bigger capital letter version of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is the point of being a criminal and doing your taxes?
Yes.
I don't want to run a fucking car wash.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't getting into this, do that. He's also like, still at the thing that when I try to think of some of these middling episodes from season 4 in a kinder light,
mm-hmm.
I need to remember that Walt is constantly thinking that Gus is going to kill him at any moment.
Yes.
Like, he's always operating that under that assumption. It's not like hard to forget or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just at a certain point, he causes it to happen, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's Walt dot text. Like, if he would relax, things would be better.
Yes.
But he doesn't know that.
Yeah. He returns to the lab and is trying to forklift a barrel of their precursor around, but he fumbles and the barrel falls to the ground. He does not know how to drive a forklift. Jesse is the one who drives the forklift.
Yep. Yeah. So he screams at the camera, listen, I can't, this is a two-man job. This is a two-person job. The cook stops until I get Jesse back.
Mm-hmm.
And time passes. He thinks he's kind of played this card. The lab door opens. He thinks it's Jesse, but it's Tyrus.
Right.
And Tyrus also doesn't give him the time of day.
No. The whole move in Gus's empire is just not speaking when somebody is yelling at you.
You always plead the fifth with Walt.
Yes.
So he rants, he needs Jesse, he drives the forklift, among many other things, and Tyrus just grabs the forklift, picks up the barrel, says, "Where do you want it?"
He might as well have used the forklift to juggle two barrels for how quickly and effortlessly he does this. And then he's very good. Yeah. And he gives like a "I'm hot shit" look to Walt, like you were saying.
I couldn't do it.
Well, forklifts are hard. Yeah. He's got to steer with that knob.
Yeah. I don't get the knob. So it's dark. It's the end of the day. Mike's doing his last pickup. Mm-hmm. He pulls up to another rundown warehouse. Jesse's drumming on the dashboard, muttering fallacies. Mm-hmm. He doesn't notice a guy pulling up behind him.
Yeah.
And he's got a shotgun. You know, this is played for suspense music. He doesn't notice it at the last second. Gets over in the driver's seat, turns the key in the ignition, and backs up to try to run over the guy.
Yeah. And the guy jumps to the side, and Jesse keeps going, ramming into the vehicle of the assailant, while Mike is still inside. And Jesse, thinking quickly, speeds off, kind of leading them into a chase. And Mike runs out, finding only this cloud of dust.
Yep. Mike walks around, calls for a pickup. You know, he's not, shocked by this.
No.
We're going to find out he's in on, on the plan. Jesse pulls up in Mike's car and explains what happened. this whole, it was crazy. Like there was this guy with a shotgun and I almost ran him over. And then there was a chase. I hit the car. He's really adrenalized
here. Yeah. Yeah. Again, this is the GTA that just happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Mike's like, I saw, he gives him a little approving, a little fatherly approval.
Mm-hmm. There. And Jesse gets over to the passenger side and nervously and shakily pulls out a smoke. And Mike looks at him sideways before saying, "Nah, why not? Go ahead, smoke up."
Yeah. Smoke up, kid. Uh-huh. And they pull away.
Yeah.
It's morning. Walt's making coffee. Junior comes out, asks for a cup. He drinks coffee now.
Mm-hmm.
And Junior says Skyler told him that Walt was moving in on Tuesday. So they haven't talked about it yet.
No.
But Skyler told Junior already, she made the decision.
Yeah. The necktie noose tightening. Even more here. Right. And Walt's words kind of catch as he's trying to say, when he sees that Junior is drinking out of a Beneke mug, the Beneke fabricators. It's more of these little kind of reminders, things that have really, really bugged him.
Yeah. Yeah, like it's more or less symbolically Junior drinking Beneke's cum.
in the fiction, I believe Junior is, just turned 16.
Sure, so it's not so bad. Just kidding. Walt gets to the lab, and Jesse's there. He's already breaking up meth.
Mm-hmm.
Walt's confused, what are you doing? Breaking glass,
Mm-hmm.
And Walt says, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
Where were you yesterday? As guard Mike, and Walt doesn't buy it immediately.
Right.
And this is exactly as planned, right? Like he's skeptical about it. And Jesse tells him about the entire robbery. Walt is skeptical because it feels artificial. Jesse is saying, you're being doubtful of me.
Yeah.
And my capacity.
Yeah. I love whenever Walt is trying to put anything together about this because he comes to mostly the right conclusions, but it is through the most insulting logic possible.
Yes.
Like, obviously you're not capable of this.
Yes.
Ergo. And Jesse has a right to be kind of upset about this, I think.
Well, it's their dynamic.
Yeah.
You said my meth was shitty.
Mm-hmm.
You said my meth was crap. No, your meth is every bit as good as mine.
Yeah.
This parent-teacher relationship never leaves.
Yeah. I think it's also important that Walt gets to the lab to find Jesse already working on something.
Yes.
He sees not only is he cut entirely out of the loop, but, Jesse is being favored by the higher-ups and also proving that Walt is not entirely essential in and of himself, right?
Yes. This is leading up to that.
Yeah. Walt is being marginalized. That's
the end goal here.
Yeah.
Yep. I feel like that's going to dawn on him a little bit later.
Yeah.
It's kind of neat how we see the entire process.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now he's skeptical of why it would happen, but he doesn't quite see the wedge plan until a little bit later.
Yes.
And just says, hey, let's get to work. I have to go out with Mike again later, and Walt, what the fuck? He's like, I guess I have two jobs now.
Yeah.
You know?
So we learn what happened. Gus takes out the trash at Poyos and then gets into Mike's car. Mike is waiting out back, asking how things went. And we think, okay, like just Jesse's first day on the job. He wants to know how he performed, etc. And Mike says, only minor injuries, a twisted ankle. We're dealing with it. It all went pretty much like you said it would. And Gus says, well, I'll reimburse you for the damage to your car. Gus, this whole thing was a work. Is what it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those things where Gus's master chessmanship bridges into the kind of the supernatural at points.
Yeah.
In a way that can feel mildly unsatisfying. Like mm-hmm. I basically buy it.
Yeah.
You know, but this is a wild plan.
Yes.
Any number of things could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with this. Like, I don't know what the plan would have been if Jesse hadn't noticed the shotgun guy and there's just a shotgun on him.
How many
you're not going to be a hero in that situation.
How many contingencies were built in, right?
Yes. It's like, it's based entirely on Jesse looking out the rearview mirror during a 30-second stretch.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if he had found something to read in the glove compartment, this whole thing wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, the pamphlet about the Knoxville World's Fair or something.
Yeah. Some Mike shit.
Yeah.
You know, a maritime disaster.
I have to think that Gus being the DM of this, like, okay, imagine Jesse didn't see anything, didn't do anything heroic, ran, got held up, right? I imagine Mike's inside for a little while. Like, it doesn't take this long to get the drop. Mike's probably watching to see how this is going to go. This guy that they hired probably, okay, Mike comes out and then he runs, we fake a little standoff and then he breaks and flees and we give a little bit of chase, blah, blah, blah. Right. I have to imagine that was accounted for.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It just wouldn't give the end result. Right.
No.
It's what makes the plan so weird is it just kind of works.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm fine. I'm comfortable with it. But there are a couple of Gusisms that are like that.
Yeah. The most egregious one's going to be in the next to last episode.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Gus notices Mike is still quiet, questions, and is more than a few. Yeah. But I know better than to ask. Anyway, just like you wanted, kid's a hero. Gus gets out and walks away. Yeah. So that was the plan.
Yes. I also like that this is established in a fake version. With Salud, episode coming, basically ending the cartel, the cartel storyline, it's real. And this is working on a very real principle. If you're in extreme danger with someone, regardless of whether you liked them to begin with, you're going to be bonded to them in a way that is hard to break. This is, they're love bombing you, Jesse.
I also like that Jesse is not incompetent.
No.
You know, as a shit. Like when he's knee deep in methamphetamines, he's not particularly mm-hmm. confident.
Yeah.
And he has a bad attitude about living generally. But he eventually does rise to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like this fake respect becomes real, not just because of that situation, but because of deeds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesse proves himself during this. And there's, hay to be made the idea that under Gus's influence and Mike's kind of fatherhood, he has a chance to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But under Walt, there's no chance.
No.
Like, there's no proving yourself. You need to be second to Walt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Walt's the genius.
No.
You know, as we're going to find out, it's his math formula.
Yeah.
Like, so we go to dinner time at Hank's and Marie's. Marie is playing with Holly. Skylar explains the business plans to Hank, and Walt is drinking to excess because he is bored out of his fucking gourd.
He is drinking from a fishbowl sized wine glass. And something that I love is he's not killing a glass before he decides to top off.
Yep. Exactly. Marie says, we thought about the name. You should put Holly's face on the sign. I'd stop.
What an annoying suggestion. Nonsense. Like, don't tell it's me how really to market my suggestion.
Well, and also just like, baby car wash, huh? Like, which one is it? Does it just do Power Wheels? Jesus. Walt kills the entire bottle. And Marie sends it back to the kitchen for another one to save it for everyone. And he goes and he opens the bottle of wine drunkenly.
Yeah.
We have to believe he's very drunk at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Based on all the nonsense and how slurry he gets
mm-hmm.
At this.
Yeah.
And there's just family banter. in the background, you know, hey, you know, grab my, you know, taste my nuts or whatever Hank says.
Yeah.
And, you know, Marie saying, you know, can we get through one meal without you grabbing your crotch? Like, things are back to normal.
Yeah.
Here. It's kind of like weird meta. This is a season one conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Walt's no longer season one Walt.
No.
So he scowls at the conversation. He's irritated by it.
Yeah. You know, he opens the bottle and kills a glass out in the kitchen. You know, doesn't even go back in. Right. Then pours himself another and Hank yells saying like, hey, you know, Vic the Greek, are you going to bring that bottle back for the rest of us? Had to look that up. Vic the Greek is a famous card player. I don't know how a card player gets famous.
Yeah. Vic the Greek. I looked that up as well.
Yeah.
So they get back, you know, gets back to the table and he's basically like almost falling out of his chair. His head lolling, like, you know, and Junior says, hey, what happened with that case, that crazy singing guy?
Yeah.
And, you know, he's talking about the Gail Bettaker karaoke tape that went around. And Hank, this is some dialogue I don't like.
Yeah.
Hank is being very flowery.
Yes.
About Gail.
Mm-hmm.
Hank does not respect criminals. This guy did play cat and mouse with him for a long time, and it's good meth.
Yes.
But this doesn't feel like Hank to me. You know, like Hank's defending this guy really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, he crazy's wrong. He's eccentric, sure. And, you know, Scholar says, what is this about? Junior says, oh, he's a meth cook. And Hank's like, oh no, he's a meth chef. Michelin, 5 stars. Like, you know, it's ludicrous.
Uh-huh.
Like it is a silly line.
Yeah.
Like, and he's really laying down so fucking thick.
I think also like he is in this, you know, he's at the terminus of this kind of downward path for himself, right? Like he has lived past his usefulness. And I think that there is, you know, to defend this a little bit, or at least offer a reasoning for it, he is trying to build up the myth of this white whale a little bit.
Yeah.
So he can feel like he went out on this, you know, on this note.
Went out on a high note.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's an element of self-aggrandizeness to this.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit, but it's also, I just think it's a little too ham fisted,
mm-hmm.
you know,
it feels like it was written specifically to piss Walt off.
Exactly. It doesn't feel natural dialogue to me.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like natural dialogue. You know, while this is happening, we're closing, you know, getting a close up on Walt's face. He's getting drunker and angrier.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear, you know, Hank say he's a genius, plain and simple. If he'd applied that brain of his to something good, he could have changed the world.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, of course, the core of Walt.
Right.
Right. Like, you know, that is the problem of Walt Rood. He regrets the gray matter ship.
Right.
You know,
resents it. And drunken Walt, he does the head loll and the eyes open, like facing over to him saying, I'm not so sure if I agree. And this is Walt signing both of their death warrants. Right.
Yes. And Gus Frings.
Oh yes.
Death warrant. And you know, many just random old people.
Yeah.
he's so drunk at this point too. That's the other thing that I don't love about this is the performance is so drunk that somebody at the table would be concerned.
Yes.
It's not that kind of party. And he is like, you know, country outlaw drunk.
He's white boy wasted is what he is.
Like, yeah, absolutely. This is the kind of drunk my friend Joe, when he was this drunk, you'd be like, Joe, get up, man, you have to puke. And he'd hold up one finger then puke on his shirt. That's how drunk Walt is here.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's amazing he doesn't turn to big red and just start spraying red wine all over the kitchen.
Yeah.
Like
he's so drunk that he has to close one eye to see properly.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. And he's still, you know, it's not good strategy or anything, but he is still just kind of like, this isn't the kind of, he's not, he almost seems drunk enough to be like, actually, I was him, you know, you should call me H. Eisenberg. he almost seems that drunk, but he's still kind of trying to make a cover story.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just real weird. Cranston plays it so big.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Walt cannot handle his substances is the takeaway. And he says, you know, like, I'm not sure if I agree. You know, I saw the notebook. There was no reasoning. You know, he was just copying, right? There were no steps shown. He didn't show his work. And Skylar's looking at him. She's put this together, right?
Yeah.
You know, meth cook, et cetera. And then this person is dead. And then here is Walt saying this very indiscreet stuff. She doesn't probably know exactly what's happening here, but she knows this is bad.
she figures it out slowly.
Yeah.
With, you know, the next episode, she figures out the love message not being a love message. You know, this is, and she looks like she's going to puke.
Yeah.
You know, and Walt says, you know, believe me, I've been around enough students to know, you know, this genius of yours, maybe he's still out there.
Yeah.
Wink. And then he puts his thumb to himself. Mm-hmm. And they all make him sleep it off. They all make him drink a lot of water as a family.
Why nobody wrestled that wine bottle away from him is beyond me.
He's so drunk. He's like Junior in that season. Like, yeah, no, Junior got drunk at the pool.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, he's so fucking drunk.
Uh-huh.
So the you know, the next morning, Hank's at the breakfast table, looking through the box of documents for Tim that he's giving back. He apologized for the mess. He's on.
Mm-hmm.
This is Hank's back. You know, when I talk about the ironicness of Walt making this huge mistake, is he brings Hank back to life.
Yes.
Like this is even though Hank said he found closure, this is real Hank.
Yeah, this is real Hank. He's at the breakfast nook alone. We do not see Hank outside of his room unless he is putting on a show for somebody.
Yes.
He's out there doing work. Is what this is. He has a purpose, right? That closure is not there. There is still use for him. The white whale is still out there, you know.
Yep.
And another small thing, Depression Hank would never apologize to Marie, but
no,
you know, apologize.
It's going to fix their relationship.
Yeah.
Again, it's so, like, I love how rich that is, that Walt spelling everyone's doom accidentally brings them so close.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're never more united than before he dies.
Oh yeah.
Like in this whole series, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's drinking, she offers him a coffee, he takes it, he's flipping through pages, and she's like, you know, what's going on? He finds a photo of a Pollos Hermanos bag with a number on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says, you know, since when do vegans eat fried chicken?
Dun, dun, you know, dun.
Dun, tying it directly.
Yes.
You know, to Pollos. Like, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
This is a huge leap.
Yes.
That, you know, and this is something I really like, is you look at Walt's criticisms of Gail,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is just rote copying and everything. There's no deduction. There's no reasoning. Hank is good at that stuff.
Oh, incredibly good.
This is a deductive leap. This is like, this would be the best puzzle in any individual Phoenix Wright game.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, this is real cool.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's good work.
Extremely good work. And it is so good and so intuitive that he has to work to actually substantiate it. Right.
Yes.
Which is fine in fiction.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Just want to say we're not suddenly taking pro cop turn. Detective stories are fun specifically because of these intuitive leaps and you know the rogue officer fighting against the system. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fun genre without being fun in real life.
Yes.
Same thing with serial killers. You know, every bad thing. We do not endorse.
Right.
You know, cop stories are basically serial killer stories.
Yes.
In that respect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is setting up. Gus is in way more danger than he's been in for several years at this point.
Yep. All due to Walt and his loose tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's the episode. An episode that I would be surprised if this doesn't land on my worst episode.
Mm-hmm.
Of the season episode, there are cool things that happen in it, but it's, I don't mind a place setting episode if we get really good character stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like too much of this is taken up with montage and like wide coincidences to me a little bit.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. There is something that is frequently cited, at least on Wikipedia, when you go and look, each episode has this grand ranking from what publication is that? That did, like, you know, all episodes of Breaking Bad ranked.
Like a Vulture or something like that.
Yeah, it might have been Vulture. And this one is ranked near the bottom. I have disagreements with that list. Obviously, any list that big, you're going to look at something and say, what? This is behind blank? But blank is,
yeah.
But you know, if you're looking at quadrants, this makes sense.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm not saying it's the worst episode in the series either.
Oh, God, no.
Like,
no.
I just meant, you know, when we get to the season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's going to be it for this episode.
It is.
What can they do?
Well, if you want to support us, you can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv, and there you can, get a bunch of bonus content, whole bonus shows, bonus episodes of other shows. If you like listening to stuff about media, we have Unfilmable. That is a bonus show about horror movies. And you might like Adaptation Decay as well, our show where we talk about how video games are adapted to other mediums.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost infinite content.
Yeah. Too much.
Basically, effectively, if at this point, if you're getting in.
Yeah.
You can also, if you can't do that, we understand, you know, $5 means different things to different people. You can leave ratings or reviews on Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, tell your friends, mm-hmm. your friends doing a rewatch of the series. They might enjoy this show.
Yeah.
And just spread the word.
Yeah. As of the time this episode comes out, all of the episodes of the show are definitely going to be on YouTube Music. If that is a way that you want to listen to podcasts, at least this show is there. That is an incredibly frustrating process getting stuff over there. So,
yeah.
But we want to make sure you can listen where you want to listen, and Google killed the other way that you would do that. So,
yeah. Google. Will their star ever stop rising?
Mm.
It seems like they can make no mistakes lately with this and Meta and AI and turning every search result into poison,
mm-hmm.
like literal poison. Like every, the basically anytime you Google anything, the result is kill yourself. Like we, you know, and just through increasingly esoteric means like, oh, you should drink a quart of glue a day, like all this shit. And that's like almost like a that's a very sci-fi premise.
Oh yeah,
it's almost
yeah.
The Happening. You know, search engines have become aware.
How many small rocks should I swallow, Gary?
Yeah, search and destroy engines. Like,
you know. The list is from The Ringer. Is what that list is from.
Got you.
Yeah.
And join us in thanking Gwen, our producer and composer of this theme song.
Thank you, Gwen.
And until next time. I don't know.
Put that bottle down, goddamn.
Yeah, drink responsibly.
Please.